But right now we're going to head out to the Metro PCS hotline, bring in Harvey Green, VP of Historical Affairs for the Miami Dolphins. Harvey, good evening. How you doing?
Hey, good, guys. Happy to be with you.
Yeah, good to have you. And I know that beginning tomorrow, you're going to have a special edition on Dolphins.com to help everybody count down to the upcoming season, as tomorrow is officially 99 days away from September 7th. So you're going to have an article about the great players who've worn each jersey number on the specific day. So starting with number 99, of course, the first number or first person that comes to mind for that is Jason Taylor. Who else wore that jersey that you're going to be writing about?
Well, Greg, that's a little bit what you talked about. It's not only the great players, but also maybe some trivia, some information that maybe Dolphin fans don't know. Everyone knows, obviously, that JT was the greatest player to wear in 99, but I'd bet you very few fans also will know that the fastest player in Dolphin history also wore 99. Now, I'm not going to give away who the answer is. That'll be on the website. But each day, we kind of tease the next day's countdown with a question that, you wonder if Dolphin fans would get. So, the one I'd throw out at you is, who was the fastest player in Dolphin history? He wore 99, and see if anyone knows the answer.
Okay, well, that's a good one. Certainly, I think we're a little stumped here on the set as we're going to research that. Or, heck, even better, go to Dolphins.com tomorrow and check out Harvey's article. I want to ask you, as we get a little personal here, Troy, number 23 with the Dolphins. That's still a ways away. So, well, what are you going to write about Troy Stratford?
Because something.
You got to write something about him.
I want to see if Troy knows the history of his number. Only one Dolphin player who wore number 23 rushed for 1,000 yards at some point in his NFL career. Troy, do you know who that is? And you know some pretty good players wore that number. Didn't say he necessarily did it as a Dolphin, but only one player who wore 23 ever rushed for 1,000 yards during his NFL career.
Wow, that's a pretty good question. I am going to go with, and it has to be wrong, but I'm going to go with Sammy Smith.
Sammy wore 33, by the way, off the top of my head. Yep.
How did I get that wrong?
And that's right off the top of my head. But, some of the guys who wore it, for example, and by the way, you're in pretty good company. You didn't rush for over 1,000. Ronnie Brown wore it. He didn't rush for over 1,000. Obviously, you had some pretty good defensive backs. Troy Vincent, yes. Wore it, and obviously Patrick Surtain. So you've had some pretty good guys. But the only Dolphin player who ever rushed for 1,000 yards ever in his career that wore number 23 was Steve Swain, who was with us briefly in 2011.
He did that in Houston.
Listen, yeah. I'm ready to read all of the articles because I'm ready to learn my Dolphin history to take it to another level. Put it that way, Harvey. So I'm looking forward to it.
So you've got an advanced jump on that question. But, I think that's the kind of fun we're going to have. Maybe some things people don't realize and maybe open it to debate. For example, when we get to number 97, which is only a couple of days out, I'm going to theorize that that was worn by probably one of the most unfairly maligned players in Dolphin history, and I take to his defense a little bit to explain why one of those guys who did wear 97 probably got a lot more criticism than he ever deserved. So, it's not just going to be facts. We're going to have some fun with some of this stuff, and hopefully it's going to appeal to Dolphin fans who think they know the team's history and some Dolphin fans who probably wouldn't mind learning some things that might have happened 5, 10, 15, 30 years ago.
Harvey, I know that you have a long way to go to get to number one, but so far through the numbers that you've gone through, what is the most fun story you've had, that you've written that, as you recollect, brought a smile to your face about a certain guy or a certain number that he wore?
Well, I'll bring that up now because if I give it away, I give it away. I don't think fans will remember it. But, we're talking about number 82. And obviously, people talk about Duriel Harris, Mark Ingram, a lot of different players. But I think Dolphin fans who have a long memory might remember the story of Larry Shannon, who Jimmy Johnson drafted in that draft in the third round after passing on Randy Moss in the first round because he had traded his first-round pick away earlier that morning and so didn't have a first-round pick, not thinking Randy would still be available. So when he drafted Larry, he went on and talked to the media and actually compared the two and said Larry was stronger, faster, bigger, and taller and tried to sell everybody that Larry Shannon was probably a better wide receiver prospect than Randy Moss. It probably wasn't one of Jimmy's better moments as a draft analyst. But stuff like that, you can bring up little stories like that, hopefully make some Dolph fans think about some good moments and probably some what might have been moments.
And Harvey Green, by the way, joining us in the Metro PCS Hotline, VP of Historical Affairs for the Miami Dolphins. And Harvey, not to give too much away of some of the content, but which number do you think will provide the most compelling content for you in terms of the most to write about with guys who have good stories or very good players?
You know, that's a good question. Probably when we get down to the 10 through 19, 20 through 29, as you know, you get more towards the skill position players. You know, you've got Troy in studio, so obviously there's a lot more to talk about if you're a running back or a quarterback or a wide receiver than you do if you're an offensive lineman. But, you know, the obvious stories, everyone knows, if you're a Dolphin fan, what Troy Stratford did. Try to find a story behind the story. Try to tell something to a Dolphin fan that he may not know. And I think sometimes it's going to be fun in that when you're starting to deal with the more obscure players who, you know, wore some of the higher numbers when they're a lineman that nobody ever heard of. I'm just now getting down to, for example, number 87. And my question is, can anyone even name a Dolphin ever who wore number 87? You'd be surprised at the dearth of players anyone ever heard of whoever wore that number, with one possible exception. So, you know, we're going to have some fun with players everyone knows and players nobody knows.
Harvey, is there anyone who had a major impact on the Miami Dolphins who wore two different numbers?
Yeah, that's out there, too. You know, one is Vern Den Herter. Who, and I shouldn't have given away because that's one of my questions, yes. But he wore two different numbers because he wore two different positions when he came in the league, and he wore different numbers when he changed positions. So there are some who did wear, it's a good question, Troy, who did wear two different numbers, had zero impact with one number, and then a heck of an impact when he changed positions, and as a result changed numbers.
Harvey Green, VP of Historical Affairs for the Miami Dolphins, joining us on the Finsiders, the Metro PCS Hotline. And Harvey, I wanted to ask you, obviously this is going to be really cool, but looking at your experience here being as part of the Dolphins 25 years, what has the evolution of the offseason program been like from when you first got here to now? Because there's been a lot of changes in terms of when the players are at the facility and how much they're working in the offseason.
You know, and you have somebody there who can answer that better than I can. Troy was here when I joined the Dolphins in 89. And Troy, I'm sure you remember when the season ended at the end of the 88 season. You probably didn't show up around camp very much. There was no off-season conditioning program. There were no OTAs. I think there was only one mini camp.
Right.
You had to show up and do a 12-minute run for Coach Shula. Mm-hmm. And it would be like a reunion. You know, you'd see everybody. It's probably the week after the draft that have the rookies come in. And I'll let Troy fill in the rest of the way. But, you know, hey, it would be a chance to catch up. What were you doing the last 2 months? Because you wouldn't see half the players, especially those who spent most of the off-season out of town. You'd finish your mini camp, and then basically you'd go back and wouldn't show up again until training camp started. Is that pretty much accurate, Troy?
No question about it, because, you know, on a daily basis, we see the players here coming in, getting their workout. And when it came to, you know, back in my day and the guys before me, you wouldn't even want to go to the Miami Dolphins facility for a workout. It was kind of rust on the weights. It wasn't really a weight room. So we had to go somewhere else and get our workouts in. So things have changed totally. And you're correct. We had 1 week, and that happened right after the draft. And then we went back home, and then it was a reunion once training camp started.
You know, as hard as it might be to believe, and John, you might remember this from being around, and Troy, correct me if I'm wrong, our quote weight room unquote was more like an outdoor universal gym by the pool at St. Thomas. And most people would find better workout facilities at a Bally's or some, you know, gym that would have, you know, a private element to it, because nobody would want to use our outdoor universal gym because it was so, you know, high schools had better weight rooms than we did back then.
Harvey, if we only knew back then, someone should have just set up a camera and filmed the expression and reaction of every single player that came to the Miami Dolphins and they saw the facilities back then. If you put that together right now, we would laugh for days.
No question, and you know, we would get people from Oklahoma or Nebraska, you know, rookies who would come in, who would be drafted by the Dolphins, who'd be used to their huge weight rooms that they'd have at those schools, and think, wow, this is the NFL. I can't wait to see what they have here in Miami, and would see something that would be worse than what they saw in high school. So things have really changed. I think one thing, and I don't want to take up too much more of your time, where it has been a negative impact is what it meant to the preseason games, because back then, you wouldn't have the offseason to put in your game plans or have much time to work with your quarterback or wideouts or have your offensive line get together, because you wouldn't see them until training camp. So you'd spend the first couple of weeks in training camp actually putting in your offense, and would actually have to use the preseason games to fine-tune it. So you would see your veterans playing a lot more in preseason games than they certainly do now. No one ever talked back then about not wanting to go out and see preseason games, because you get to see your veteran players for minimally two quarters, maybe more than that. So again, Troy, I'd be willing to bet you played a lot more in the preseason than our starters do now.
100% agree.
Yes, and in anticipation of the 2014 season that's coming up, make sure you check out Dolphins.com. Harvey Green is going to have a countdown, and for every day, starting tomorrow, 99 days away, we will have the significance of the numbers of the guys that wore those numbers. And as Harvey has been explaining, there's some, not only the players, but the story behind the players and some cool information and facts. Harvey, thank you very much for joining us. We look forward to reading number 99 starting tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Happy to be with you guys.